The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you from Bar Canada here at the D. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. Kelly and I, still to come, Jason Weingarten this hour. We'll talk NFC West here momentarily. Kelly and I are super impressed with how many of y'all knew that Olympic soccer is under 23 on the men's side with three exceptions. Pretty amazing soccer knowledge.
I am impressed.
It's incredible.
Near stunned.
Near stunned. Kelly was almost on the floor.
And you know, stay tuned for the over the next few weeks as Gil and I, and mainly me, just make multiple errors on assuming things of how the Olympics were.
100%. We stand by our
We're even
confusion.
In the break, we're talking about how all these sports starting before the opening ceremonies. Like, we don't know how many it is.
Oh, wait,
Gil doesn't remember it.
Should we just be betting on France to win the basketball tournament?
I don't know. I've stayed away completely. I think I'm going to be interested to watch some of these teams early. I mean, I've seen USA, obviously, in the exhibition games. I want to see a lot more of Canada and France to see where I think they stack up. But, yeah, it's Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis are not going to have any fun with Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama on the court at the same time.
We get tweets, Mr. Drew 50. Gil calls people NFL players' uniform numbers by their age is hilarious. Unfortunately for Gil, most of us friends are likely lineman numbers at this point. No, for me, it's more linebackers right now. But you're right. It used to be secondary, and then it got to, like, running backs, and we still thought we were cool, and now it's, like, linebackers. It's bad.
You're getting, like, some centers now. Yeah.
That's right. Let's see here. Oh, they're all soccer. Everybody knows about soccer.
Yeah, we got snap called. There was like five tweets right away. It was like, oh, it's under 23.
And Hanky Dory, he says, our show time needs to be expanded. He said, having only 2 hours is an injustice. Show is the smartest 2 hours any sports bettor could have. Thank you. That's very kind of you. We appreciate that. Hanky Dory. I like that name. Hanky Dory.
I like that you followed it up, that tweet up after the or failed Olympics knowledge. But yeah, that's smartest right. Show, yeah.
Except for the Olympic soccer men's side. We don't really know much about that. NFC West. Let's start with the Niners. Let me just start by saying FTN Almanac has them numero uno in DVOA. They're one, Baltimore's two. But let's put it in context. Again, Kyle Shanahan, because we're going to hear this, right? A lot about this. Just like we hear about Lamar Jackson can't win in the playoffs, we hear this about Kyle Shanahan at Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan, now the sixth coach, to lose two Super Bowls with the same franchise, and the sixth to start his Super Bowl career 0-2, and that's not even including the 28-3 collapse when he was the coordinator in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They did this thing at FTN called Dynasties of Heartbreak a couple years ago in an attempt to rank the teams that came closest to winning a title but kept coming up short. They have the Niners as the 10th greatest example of that all time, last year's. A team that is so good and then gets the crushing loss at the end.
Where did we finish last season TVOA? It was Niners, Ravens 1-2, somewhere in that order.
Ravens,
right?
I think it was Ravens, Niners.
I think you're, that's what I
and
think.
And they were both historically good regular season. You know the story with the Niners. There's not much to get into. But I will say this. Their projections of the Niners coming into this year, this is the headline, Kelly. 10 points ahead of the Lions and Cowboys. That's how much FTN Almanac believes the Niners are in terms of their advantageous position over the rest of the conference. 10 points over the Lions and Cowboys in DVOA. Here's the thing with the Niners. This is the window about to shut, right? They've got this coming year and maybe next year. And then they got to pay Purdy. And that's not to mention the fact that this is the last year of Ayuk's rookie contract, assuming they keep him. Dre Greenlaw's got the Achilles. He won't be back till November. His contract, Charvarius Ward's contract, about to expire as well. So this is the last of maybe the last 2 years, but it might be the last where you have Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey, because all of their deals expire at the end of next year. The only person they lost, they're running it back. The only person they really got rid of, Eric Armstead, right? Other than that, they are only the third team ever to have a projected DVOA of more than 10 points over their nearest conference rival. God bless. That makes them the eighth best team in their database, now stretching back to 1979.
Some of the things from last year are just insane, too. Like, this is these are a couple notes from Cleve TA's guide I wrote down, but like Purdy's 9.6 yards per attempt, ranked third highest in NFL history.
That good? Second?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No.
Highest since Kurt Warner in 2000. The offense scored 30-plus points in 9 games last year. Like, it's incredible.
And neither the Ravens or the Niners won the Super Bowl because they ran into Superman.
Yep.
So, there's nothing really more to say about the Niners. That's how they're viewed by FTN, some advanced stats.
Any bets for you on them?
No, so again, I'm glad you asked.
Because I'll definitely give you credit. Like, I think you were higher on the Niners, or as high as anybody on the Niners, as early on them as possible.
Thank you, sir. Hasn't necessarily cashed me into riches, but still. No, the only bets I have so far, again, are, and we'll get to the Rams here, but the only bets I have are Bengals to win the NFC North, which we made first. I made first. Pittsburgh under season win total, alternate under season win total, 7.5. And I bet Puka Nacua, offensive player of the year, at 32-1.
Right. Yeah, you bet that for vacation the other week.
Should I skip the Seahawks and then talk about the Rams? Because I think the Rams are Rams get back to what we were talking about at the beginning, which is I just feel like there are so many teams that if you told me, you used this example earlier, if you told me they were 6-11, did Argentina just get the equalizer? They did. Under 23, Argentina plus 3. Oldies get the equalizer against Morocco.
Wait, I want to finish one last note on San Francisco. Second year in a row, by the way, schedule makers, they have to face 4 opponents coming off a bye this season, and it's Kansas City, Dallas, Seattle, and Buffalo.
Not favorable. The Rams were 3-6 last year when they got to the bye week. They had like a 5% chance of making the playoffs. And then Matthew Stafford returned. And then it says here Cooper Kupp got healthy. I would like to say that Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford figured out, maybe we should keep feeding Puka a little more. Puka was just unbelievable. And their offense went from 16th weeks 1-9 to 3rd weeks 11-18. Only San Francisco and Baltimore were better on offense. And so here's the problem. While it makes sense, and I talked about this a little bit about the Texans, while it makes sense intuitively to think, they improved in the second half of last year, therefore they will improve even more, it's not always the case. It doesn't happen historically. The Rams, along with the Packers and Giants, join a list of 31 teams since 2010 who saw their offensive DVOA jump by at least 20% over the back half of the season. Teams that finish the year hot and look to continue that momentum into the next season, most meet with disappointment the next year. Those previous 28 teams saw their offensive DVOAs drop an average of 3.5% the next season. So that's the biggest thing we as handicappers, our brains are wired for optimism. But typically, if you kind of buck that, you'll do better. Now, the Rams have other things they have to deal with as well. By the way, only 2 teams, if you're wondering, managed to improve on their second half DVOA in that kind of dramatic fashion the next year. The 2011 Broncos, who swapped Tim Tebow for Peyton Manning. That makes sense. And the 2011 Seahawks, who swapped Tarvaris Jackson for Russell Wilson. That also makes sense. So that's what you're up against historically in terms of you getting so much better. Kyren Williams, Blake Corum in the backfield. I mean, that's great. Cooper Kupp's healthier. Puka Nacua. I believe who they'll even figure out more how to get the ball to. That's why I bet him 32-1 for Offensive Player of the Year. But obviously Matthew Stafford's age is always a concern, though he did just sign. Still a top 10 passer when he's great. Jimmy Garoppolo is a backup in case something goes down with Stafford. But in addition to that historical DVOA stuff, the Rams were unbelievably healthy last year as well. They were the healthiest team in all of football. They missed the fewest games to injury. Is that sustainable? Who knows?
And I feel like people like that. Those are important notes because I think a lot of people will think about Cooper Kupp being out for those games. But
they made that point that it's the high profile guy got hurt, so they think they were hampered by injuries. But actually, they were the least hampered by injuries. Obviously, the headline is Aaron Donald is done. You can't really replace that. The depth is likely to be more tested this season. The other thing about that winning streak, the second half of the season, that sort of, again, our brains purge. So, again, it's you got a lot of injury luck. But in that second half resurgence, remember they won 2 of those games down the stretch because the opposing team missed last second or late game field goals. So your field goal luck was good, too. So I just get back to the point. The Rams, by the way, 10-8 last year. They are right now, if we flash up the division numbers, obviously it's the Niners at the top and it's the Cardinals at the bottom. But when you see the Seahawks and the Rams, you see a lot of – I mean, the Seahawks and the Rams are a great example of what we're talking about. The Rams have a season win total of 8.5. They're plus 330 to win the division. The Niners, by the way, 11.5 season win total, minus 195 to win the division. But the Rams, 8.5 plus 330. The Seahawks, 7.5, 7-1. We'll get to the Seahawks. I think they represent, the Rams and the Seahawks, as great as any of the teams we can talk about in the NFL, of the, just anecdotally, the people we have talked to, the guests we've had, just every bit of football knowledge you soak in, the most variant opinions on. Like, some people think the Rams are going to be great. I just spelled out a couple reasons why you should be cautious about it. Can everything, because there's a spectrum, does everything break your way? Missed field goals, injury luck, right, all that stuff. Or, you know, does it not? Does it actually come down to earth? And so these things don't tend to have a perfect graph upward.
I think that the Rams and the Buccaneers are in the same exact boat for me this year as they were last year. And I talked about this before the season last year, where I didn't think the Rams and Bucs were going to be as bad as the betting odds were suggesting, because they still had some talent left over from the Super Bowl rosters. And now I think with both teams, we've gotten too far. If anything, I'd be looking at unders on the Rams and the Bucs. I think they're probably a little overrated heading into this season. I'm just not as big a believer as some of the rest out there.
And yet, if you're a Sean McVay believer, and if you're a Matthew Stafford believer, if they made the playoffs, you wouldn't be shocked either.
No, not at all.
We'll talk Seahawks and Cardinals on the other side. NFC West. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game, proudly brought to you right here from Bar Canada at the D. Don't forget about our college football guide. It drops on August 1st, a week from today. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and NFL seasons. NFL guide, of course, already out. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings. Plus, best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount of just $175. $5. The football special discount price expires on July 31st, so please do not wait. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Bainbridge DeWeese tweeted. He goes, could it be that all of your soccer knowledgeable fans knew that it was under 23 because when we bet it, it says U23? That could be. That could be. It's a good point, Bainbridge.
Well done.
I just want to follow up on a couple, because we talked NFC North and NFC West so far. I just want to remind people, Cleve TA, because a lot of people are betting Jared Goff to win MVP. Mm-hmm. Mike Somich, one of them.
I think I saw him down at like 20-1 yesterday.
So I just want to remind people, Cleve's opinion on this. He says, I don't want to ruffle any feathers because I think I've heard like four or five guys say that they have Goff for MVP.
It is the most popular MVP pick I've heard.
And we know how that usually works out. But he goes, this is Cleve talking. He goes, I mean, Detroit won 12 games. He finished second in the NFL in yards and fifth in touchdowns and didn't even sniff one vote. There is an inherent bias against him forever because he's a system quarterback, and Detroit throws it at the seventh lowest rate in neutral situations. They don't even fully trust him. He should be double the odds, in my opinion. That's just that. And as far as Brock Purdy, this is according to leaning on the FTN Almanac, because it's preview guide season, and we're, for God's sakes, it's still July. So we're just sort of aggregating opinions. The jury on Brock Purdy, right? Because that was like, we debated this. This was the big debate, really, of the regular season last year. Is Brock Purdy an MVP? Obviously, until they played the Chiefs, right? Was it the Chiefs or the Ravens? I can't remember now. Until they had the bad game. The Ravens. Now I'm forgetting. It was the Ravens, and they crapped out. But the debate, the FTN settles it by saying this, and I think this is a very neutral statement, which I think most people would agree with. They say that they find Purdy to be a very good quarterback who raises San Francisco's offensive floor, but puts up elite statistics because he has been handed the best situation in the NFL. Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey, etc. Who, by the way, San Francisco's the second team to ever have players in the top three in their other stat, DYAR, at wideout, running back, and tight end, and the first to do so in a full season. So that's the situation he finds himself in. That doesn't mean he's not good. That means he's still very good. That gets elevated by the people around him, and that also means that when his rookie deal expires, the Niners have no choice but to pay him in. If it goes well this year.
Yeah, and like I'm very pro Purdy. I think why it becomes a conversation, right? It's because we get it. Like it's a rookie who was drafted late, so you automatically have doubts about the guy. When he has success, you want to give more of the credit to the situation than it deserves. So I understand why it was a debate last year, and I don't really know that we still have a complete answer to that either.
You can't punish him for being surrounded by good players and playing great.
Yeah, exactly.
Seahawks are fascinating.
But of course it helps him, too. You know what I mean?
Of course. No one's saying it doesn't.
Right.
But that's what he's doing on the field. Seahawks are 7.5. That's their season win total. They're 7-1 to win the division. And again, talk about fascinating NFL teams. As much as we make of coaching, we don't make enough of it. So Seahawks defense over the last 14 years, according to DVOA, they went from 13th to 20th to 22nd to 28th. That's not good. This ain't the Legion of Boom anymore. And they had veterans that age out of their prime. Draft picks failed to pan out. And Pete Carroll's scheme just didn't evolve with the modern NFL. Philosophically, he wanted to run the ball. He wanted to play defense. And they make this great point in FDN Almanac. They said he was not one to take unnecessary risks on offense, which gradually Kelly transitioned into someone not willing to take necessary risks on offense. I think that's a great sentence.
Yep.
He finished 25th out of 35 in last year's aggressiveness index, and only four teams lost more win probability by kicking when they should have gone for it than your Seattle Seahawks under Pete Carroll. That's not to say he wasn't a great coach. He was. But it kind of ended poorly through the last year. Time had passed him by.
Don't worry. Like Nick Saban, he has a cushy office.
I'm sure they'll consult him every day. And I'm sure he's there all day. So Rams defensive coordinator, former Rams defensive coordinator Mike McDonald, which Kelly points out not only is going to be confusing with Mike McDaniel, Michael McDonald of the Doobies and solo career, but also that he spells his name.
Yeah.
Without a capital letter beyond the M.
Yeah. I'm going to screw that up. For someone that has to type these things for graphics, I'm going to screw that up a lot.
So they go from the oldest coach in the league to the youngest. And here's the thing with Mike McDonald. Everything he did in Baltimore was fantastic. And his whole defensive thing is he wants to confuse the offense. His hallmark is nobody knows where anything is coming from. And that includes defensive linemen backing up into pass coverage. He just changes his game plan from a defensive game plan on a game-to-game basis. That's what great coaches do. They don't say, this is my system and it works against everything. That's the Marty Schottenheimer way. No, the Joe Gibbs way is, no, I'm going to tailor my X's and O's to who I'm playing because I'm that smart about football. That's Mike McDaniel. It's a great hire. Mike McDonald. I just did it. What was that you were saying, about the show being smart?
That's a running tally on this all year.
That's right. So anyway, he held in Baltimore Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, who finished first, second, third in DVOA. He held them to combined 39% success rate. That's how good they were. But here's the deal. So Geno Smith, right, another one of these quarterbacks that people have trouble sort of evaluating. Geno Smith, they say very sort of neutrally, good enough that you don't have to worry about the position while they patch their other 8 zillion holes.
Yep.
And by the way, that moment in the summer where people are like, I don't know, Sam Howell could start. They point out that was insane. Sam Howell committed more negative plays than any other quarterback in the league last
Remember
season.
Remember we saw those opening odds for the week one starters there?
What were we talking about?
We're minus 300, that's it?
Y'all watch Sam Howell? Here's the biggest point about the Seahawks, though. I want to make this. With Mike McDonald's, is that correct? Yeah. With his defense, the way that his defense works, when you have all that Baltimore personnel, and those are veteran players largely, then you're in the system for a while, you get all of the machinations of it, right? Oh, now we're sending three. Oh, now we're sending. Oh, now we're sending it from this direction. Oh, now we're sending it from this direction. Oh, you're dropping back. You're doing this on a play-to-play, game-by-game basis. Now, though, you have a young group of players who are going to have to learn this system. And so the point about the Seahawks, and this gets into making bets mid-season, this is going to be a steep learning curve for this defense. That's the point that they really wanted to make about the Seahawks. It's going to be a very steep learning curve early, but by the end of the season, they could be a way better version than they were in the first half. We just talked about a number of cases where teams started out poorly and ended strong, or started out good and then ended poorly. So that's the thing with the Seahawks. By the end of the year, could they be competing for a wild card spot? Absolutely. But it could be really ugly early. And they get to play a lot of their wild card contenders or potential wild card contenders, at least on paper, in November, like three different ones. So they will be able to control their own fate still, even if they start poorly. So that's why the Seahawks, they represent a lot of teams. All of that in the mix, do you really have a bet on them one way or the other? I don't.
I do.
You do?
I do. I actually just, this is my most recent, I guess I made Anthony Richardson last night, but I've been thinking about that for like 4 months.
I love that you fired.
Seattle, I did. I made a bet, I think this past weekend it was, or Friday or something like that. And I don't, this is where there's a couple teams I've got circled to kind of wait and see on different situations in season, and kind of as you're speaking to with them. Problem is, Gil, with this team, you get Broncos and Patriots right off the bat. So, you know, you kind of expect wins to come early, even if the defense is still figuring some things out. I think those are some two teams you want to get started with. This team dealt with, they had the fifth most injured offensive line last year. Just shuffling all that around was a nightmare. You get a new offensive coordinator in, Brian Grubb, guy from Washington. We saw the offense he ran there with Penix. You're going to see a lot more of those three wide receiver sets. When we were talking big time last year heading into the year about Jaxon Smith-Njigba getting out there and the three wide receivers.
Oh, they got receivers, that's for sure.
That they're going to be able to roll out. This is more of a handicap of the rest of the NFC. And at 2-1 for them to make the playoffs, it was a bet for me. I think they do get in as one of those wild card teams. So I like them at 2-1. I do think they're going to end up usually probably the second team in the NFC West behind the 49ers, but ahead of the Rams is where I have them. So 2-1, and then it also did translate to a Mike McDonald Coach of the Year bet. I think using a lot of those Cleve TA guardrails that we kind of set in place of a team that needs to improve by a certain amount, I think this is a team that could do that this next season and get into that category of, you know, 11 wins, something like that, getting in the playoffs and get your Coach of the Year. So I made Mike McDonald Coach of the Year bet, and I made the Seahawks to make the playoffs.
I may end up with a Mike McDonald Coach of the Year bet.
I like it.
I think he's the best hire out there. Who's the surprise team in the NFC this year? Who's the team that comes out of nowhere? Still don't know.
I don't know.
Somebody will.
Cardinals could be better than we think they're going to be.
We will talk about the Cardinals coming up. We haven't left them out. But first, Jason Weingarten on the other side with all his bets. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game, live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlitz. It's my friend Kelly, everybody. Kelly, you good, man? You just firing NFL bets over there?
Yeah, I'm good. I haven't really been firing that much. It's just, you know.
Hey, 12.
You know, I've been in and out for vacations and stuff during the summer, and some of the stuff we just don't catch up on.
Two ships in the night, man.
That's right.
12-12, France and the USA and rugby. This is also live Olympics action.
Ooh. Plus, as everybody knows out there, I get busy. Sometimes I have a list that grows of bets that need to
Kelly,
be made.
Kelly right? Billy, the only human being who said, bets I need to make, and then he has a list.
Okay, things are going to move. Seattle Seahawks to make the playoffs. That number's not moving much over a few days.
That's right. Well, Jason Weingarten's always making bets. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Spreadopedia. This is where you can find him on Twitter. We don't get the visual on Jason today? Oh, that's too bad. No, nothing?
My camera's gone from DraftKings. They want their computer back.
You know, if you show up in the next 2 days, they'll let you keep your computer. Did you know that rule?
No. Okay. Maybe I will. We'll talk about that after.
Okay.
I guess. I
just curious. Just curious. I was down there yesterday. It was beautiful. Once again, let me just say, it's beautiful down there by their offices there. What do we call that area by Durango?
Southwest Vegas?
Uncommons, right? Don't we call
it? Yeah, the Uncommons.
Yeah. Although that food court is gone now. The Uncommons food court is gone.
Really?
Yeah. They have tons of other restaurants, but that one is gone. Sorry, Jason. Just wanted to point that out to you. By the way, you mentioned something to me off air. I'm not sure if you want me to mention it on air, but you know what I'm talking about regarding the election and betting?
My bet this weekend?
Yes.
Talk about that.
Okay. What? Tell everybody what you bet. Then this was after our segment. I don't know if our segment had any influence on this. What did you bet?
Trump, no. Next president, Trump, no. I got, let's see, plus 155. I just think it's going to come down. I think it's going to come down probably closer to, you know, minus 110 each way, or, you know, at least not going to be plus 150 much longer. But the thing is, like, I was just thinking about, like, I bet $500 on it. If you're going to bet $500 a week, like, you're going to do this every week, I'll add to this position or I'll add to whatever position I like, you're going to end up having a pretty decent sized position come November. So,
yeah.
You know, these bets will add up. But right now it's, you know, 500 against Trump at plus 155. So
right,
Trump,
right.
No.
Yeah, right now Trump in the minus 180 range as of this morning to win the presidency, and Kamala Harris, plus 140-ish. What else you got? You got any baseball today for us?
I got a little bit of baseball. I'm surprised you guys aren't betting the Olympic soccer right now. I got New Zealand up 1-0 on Guinea. They were 4-1 dog. I actually bet that. I got my eye on that. Just wanted to
point
that out.
Wait a minute. Why we have to have you on. So are you now admit to us, I assume with a lot of these bets, you are both A, not knowledgeable, and B, maybe not even watching in some of these?
I'm not watching this at the moment. I might go turn it on Peacock. I had my eye on this game actually for a while. I saw New Zealand was like 4.5-1 against Guinea, first game in men's soccer. It ended up closing plus 340 at Bookmaker today. So I know I ended up on the right side at least. They're up 1-0 in the 31st minute. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
I did a podcast actually yesterday with Matt Friedman and, you know, Matt the Oracle. I gave this bet out. I'm bummed it didn't get out before the game started.
That's usually bad when it doesn't get out before the game starts. So, but explain to folks who are just let's say folks are just landing on this at the same time. They're like, wait a minute, this guy's betting on stuff. Where, like, can he name any of the players? What is your overriding, or maybe there isn't one. Maybe you just something catches your eye. Like when you talk about the basketball, right? You've been on during the last month. You're like, yeah, I'm betting Mongolia in game +81.5. Right, and they're down.
You got to win by 82.
Yeah. And they would have to be
as easy as that.
Okay. So is this similar to that, or do you know something that you're like, oh no?
I mean, I saw 4.5-1. I thought it was quite high for, you know, New Zealand. Are they a good team or are they a bad team? I don't know. Is Guinea a good team? I've never really seen their soccer team play. I couldn't tell you one way or the other, but I figured the market was probably going to come back New Zealand's way. It wasn't, you know, anything super.
I figured it was that
super deep, but, you know, I got the right side and ended up closing a dollar lower. So
do you anticipate making these kinds of bets every day for the next 2 weeks? Do you think you will, like, in all kinds of sports?
Steam chasing Olympic stuff? No. Probably not. I mean, it's one way to make money, but I don't have to. I don't really have to do much of anything the rest of baseball season. Or yeah, I can take it leisure at this point and bet.
Okay.
Bet at my own pace.
Why? Is that because you love your positions in baseball?
Yeah, golf's been doing well. I mean, I'm ahead of where I expect it to be at this point in the baseball season, so nothing I really have to push.
Is there a futures baseball bet before we get to today's bets? Is there a futures baseball bet, division, awards, mismake playoffs that you would bet right now?
Not particularly. You know, the thing, the guy who's really throwing a wrench and everything is Paul Skeens. He's, you know, he's really screwing up a lot of my future stuff. If he falls off for some reason, it's going to swing a couple bets that, make a lot of money, but he's the big wrench and everything right now. And no, you know, I'm not, no shade to him or anything. He's pitching, you know, real well. I watched him last night and everyone's right. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball in his first 100 innings.
Yeah. And you could see it at LSU as well. You figured that if anybody could do that, it was him. So what you're saying is you have positions in both, I would imagine, Rookie of the Year and Cy Young that are being screwed with.
Yeah, you know, I'm really not worried about him winning the Cy Young. Even Tom Tango said he might get a couple first place votes, but he's probably not going to win.
Yeah.
Chris Sale's my guy. I also bet the Braves in his start today. It's the second game in the doubleheader. Braves minus 169. That's my baseball play for today, by the way. But okay. Braves, I don't know. They're kind of interesting. I'm still hoping maybe they kind of lose a step and miss the playoffs. But I also want Chris Sale to win the Cy Young. So I'm all over the place.
We have a network wide MLB futures handicapping contest that was started on Dave Ross's show over the weekend with Will Hill, where they talked about it was their producer Moneyline was the person who conceived this, I believe.
Moneyline Miller.
I think Dan Moneyline Miller conceived this. And it's, you know, we have to make one futures bet. I don't think you and I have talked about this, Jason. One futures bet per show. And you're allowed, if, you know, 2 weeks go by, a month, 2 months go by, whatever. This happened about a month ago. You're allowed to change your bet. Obviously, you'd lose the unit from your previous bet. And whoever ends up with the best net aggregate at the end, right, the best net winnings, wins. Just a little friendly competition. And so some shows went super conservative, right? Like Orioles to win the East, for instance, right? And then other shows went far longer. Now, ours is Braves to miss the playoffs. Braves are
what's the number?
We got it at 8-1. 8-1,
yeah,
which is
bad.
Right about where it is now. And I think last I looked, what are they, like 4 clear of being on the outside looking in, something like that. So it's possible. We have Mike Somich and Matt Brown on the handle. They have the Royals to win the division 6-1, which I think is a very interesting bet. We have some others. We have the Astros to win the AL West. Obviously, that's shorter. Do any of those, of the ones I've mentioned, which sounds the most likely to you? Like, which bet would you like to have if you could only have one of those?
Is it Astros?
Astros. Okay, because you don't think the Royals get there.
No, I think they might. I think the Astros are much more likely to, you know, fend off everybody. They're a better team than the Mariners. Well, not close.
For sure, but it's obviously shorter odds too. I'm guessing based on the value is what I'm asking.
No, I'd rather have the the Astros.
Okay. Do you feel like what is the team, getting back to the, because I have the Royals on my mind because I have them in July here for most wins. What's the team in the American League and the National League right now? I've asked you this before, but I asked you this a long time ago. What is the team in the American League and the National League that you would be worried about if you're another team, if that team squeaked into the postseason based on their pitching, rotation, or whatever?
National League, I'd still go with the Padres. They're kind of good in an annoying way, and they can always throw out a guy like Dylan Cease and win a game. And, you know, it's like, I don't like saying nice things about the Padres, but they're all right. The Royals are always annoying. I think annoying's a good word to describe them if they manage to get in. But either it's probably going to be one of the central teams, Guardians, Twins. They're always not fun to match up with in short series.
It'd be interesting to see how many teams come out of the AL Central, because I actually think the answer to that question is the Royals in the AL. That team would worry me. If I had to play them in a best of three or a best of five, oh, man, like, give me a plus price on the Royals against whomever in that. They would scare me. Jason, good luck with New Zealand. Is that who you bet? New Zealand?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully get a winner there to start the Olympics.
Right. Start the Olympics. Olympics starting 2 days before the opening ceremonies. Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia. We'll come back. Arizona Cardinals, Kelly's thoughts on the 3M, maybe some Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game, Bar Canada here at the D. Don't forget this weekend, big UFC weekend. July's ending with a bang. UFC 304 has not just one, but two titles on the line. Get your crown, jump in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSiN. That's code VSiN for new customers. Get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. I owe Kelly an apology. What happens when you do a show like this is you have segments and then you have a break, and then we get to talking during the break. But then when the segment approaches like 15, 10 seconds left, Kelly's like in mid-sentence, and then I just like drift into segment mode, and so I don't mean to be rude. Whatever you're talking about, we got to finish at the end.
I was just talking about the classic American film Captain Ron.
Sure, sure you were.
And how I'm going to end up like that one day. Just floating around the Caribbean from island to island.
Is that Kelly Bidlin? A tanned, svelte Kelly Bidlin?
hair past my shoulders.
Is that a ponytail?
That's right, ponytail.
By the way, Jeff Stoneback, who is MGM. He works at MGM. He's a big odds maker over there. Works behind the book. Jeff, for years, he was at MGM, and then he kind of quote unquote retired. He went to follow the Grateful Dead around Europe, and now Stoneback is back. Patrick Emerson did a video with him. I'm like, is that a ponytail on Stoneback? It sure is.
Wow. I was just gonna say, yeah, I haven't seen him in years.
Sure is. Hey. Oh, you know what we didn't talk about? We didn't talk about the Cardinals.
Wait, so like, are you saying the last time I have spoken to Jeff between then and now, he's gone on a European Grateful Dead? Like,
I don't know when the last time you talked to Jeff was.
It's been a few years.
Then, yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I got to check out that video.
Because Patrick Emerson was doing a bunch of Patrick Emerson, who we all know and love, who does all his stuff on Twitter, was doing videos about the closing of the Mirage, and my old buddy Jay Rude, all of his stories, and Jeff Stoneback's stories. And so MJ over at the Aria texted me the video of Stoneback, and all, like, he's telling this whole story, and all I'm like, is that a ponytail? Yeah, that's going to be you. All right, Cardinals. We didn't talk about the Cardinals. We have to talk about the Cardinals.
You know these are the winning machines, Gil. You just know these are the winning machines. It just cracks me up every day.
Oh, this guy right here behind you?
I just, every time.
Oh, speaking of which.
I can't even blame him, though. But it's a gambler's mindset, right? If I saw our set up here, I'd be like, why are they blocking off those four machines? I bet you those are the winners.
Those are the ones that are rigged to win. I'm glad you said this because we get tweets. Trust the glove. Somebody help that guy behind you find his ear pod. Was there someone struggling with an ear pod behind me at some point during the show? The things you guys notice. Just to follow Vison, our buddy Bob, who showed up the other day. And by the way, Bob, thank you for showing up. I also, like, right before he left, I was worried that I am rude because I lock back into the show. And then he walks away, and I always feel bad. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't mean to. You know.
It's tough. Yeah, we love everybody coming to say hi. Please do it. We do not mean to be rude if we seem like we're busy.
Would never be on purpose. Just to follow VC, he says, I have a buddy who played Division IV college football and is a Purdy, Brock Purdy hater, getting to our Purdy discussion earlier.
Division IV?
Division IV. That must be
a
typo.
Thing?
I thought it ended at 3. Anyway.
I thought it was Division III and then you went to like NAIA.
Me too. He says, I finally asked him if he thinks he could play as well. LOL. He's an elementary school principal, thinking he should be throwing a Debo successfully. I guess we all probably know a guy like this, though. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Jeffrey S. DeVore, like sands through the hourglass, so are tape delayed events for the Olympics. Spoiler alert, France U.S. rugby game finished a while ago. Okay.
it's still a solid pro tip in this day and age, because you would really think you're not watching much that is on tape delay. And yes, he is right. There will be some Olympic events that, well, if you're watching the NBC coverage, then it's like all on tape delay. When they go to like gymnastics and stuff in prime time in the U.S., like that would have been done multiple hours before it.
Oh. Phil Weiss back said, he said Jason needs an intervention, he said.
I really got to stop talking about the Olympics. Like, what? I'm just like making assumptions, I guess.
The Olympics, when I was a kid, Kelly, I cannot express to you how big of a deal they were.
Like, NBC, the primetime NBC stuff is usually on tape delay because of the time difference. I would assume it is based on France, but I don't know that.
All right. Cardinals. Can we talk about the Cardinals just to be thorough here?
Yes.
Because I want to get you a 3M open. I just want to say that the headline with the Cardinals, obviously they have a very low season win total at 6.5. It's not super duper low, but it's the lowest in the division. 13-1 to win the division, which I think some people would say, wow, they're 6.5 and 13-1. I thought it'd be far longer than that. Here was the FTN Almanac sort of case on this. They're like the common expectation. We're just trying to, when we go through these teams here on the show, we're just trying to give a different perspective. They said the common expectation is that a full season from a full healthy season from Kyler Murray, you add Marvin Harrison Jr., and then you had help on the line with Jonah Williams, Evan Brown, that should lead to a more competitive unit. But their projections actually have Arizona backsliding some on offense, on their way to ranking 24th in DVOA and 28th in projected wins. They have the Cardinals with the fifth toughest schedule, thanks to the rest of the division being strong. They get the AFC East, the NFC North coming to town. They have a rough patch in the schedule rotation. As a matter of fact, if this holds, it would be the third time in the last 4 years Arizona faces a top five hard schedule. But here's their deal. They say offenses that draft a receiver high in the draft tend to see their DVOA decline in the first year and improve the year after that.
Interesting.
That is interesting. Six of the 50 largest offensive drop-offs for teams that drafted an early receiver. You're talking about the likes of David Boston and Michael Floyd, for all of you hardos out there. But like even DVOA ratings decline happened when Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald were drafted. Talk about Cardinals history now. So in the Boldin case, they saw the offensive DVOA shoot back up in year two. Basically what they're saying is quarterback improvements, coaching changes, but the idea is that not even a highly touted receiver prospect could come in and immediately fix every problem on offense. That's the point of that. Okay, and then they said, and the Kyler Murray thing, like again, through week 8 of 2021, he had a DVOA of 5th in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't seen that version of Murray since. Missed 3 games with an ankle injury in 2021. Not the same player when he returned. 2022, numbers fell further before tearing his ACL. Hasn't had a positive rushing DVOA since 2020. That's probably the most surprising thing. When he's great, he's great. And he can always make those plays that are flashy where you're like, oh my God, nobody in the league, maybe Lamar Jackson, can make that play. But those are fewer and far between now.
Yeah, when we talk team futures, this is one of those extremely quarterback-dependent teams, right? I think if you told me that Kyler Murray was going to be healthy if he was going to play 14 games, this would be an over bet for me. But I don't know that he can. I don't believe in that. And if I knew he was going to miss most of the season, then this would be an easy under 6.5. So from like team futures perspective, it's pretty easy for me to stay away. I do think Cardinals week one is interesting. I think they are catching 7.5 against the Bills last time I checked. I think that one's a little interesting to me. They're a team I'll probably look to bet on game to game as long as Kyler's healthy. But futures-wise, nothing for me on this team.
And, of course, he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins or A.J. Green, Christian Kirk, and Rondale Moore as his receivers anymore either. Okay, you want to do 3M or you want to do Defensive Player of the Year here?
Let's do 3M quick. We can talk about Defensive Player of the Year tomorrow. I've just got a few bets for the tournament. I did bet Keith Mitchell along with Sia Najad. No shocker if you've been following my golf this year that Keith Mitchell made the card. The sad realization I hit with Keith Mitchell Gil, because I have actually been avoiding him recently a little bit. I circled him for a top 20 this week. I was like, that's as far as I'm going. But if you really look at recent form putting, it just can't get much worse. So it's kind of only one way to go. We're in this field this week. He is number last 12 rounds, number one on approach, six in strokes gained off the tee. Number one in proximity of 200 plus from the hole. Opportunities gains, that means an approach shot within 15 feet to set yourself up for a birdie. He's number one. Birdies are better gained. He's number one. What is he in the field in putting? 134th.
Oh, man.
Is where he ranks in putting this week. So, like, literally, there's only one way he can go, and it is up. So, Keith Mitchell, an outright for me. Tony Finau, I did bet this week. He is the short shot. Coming back over from the British Open, he was even after round one. 10 over after round two. Missed the cut. We'll be back early for this event. Ready to go. There is, when you look at horse for the course, the best course fit for guys on tour, 3M Open and Tony Finau is the fourth most correlated to success of any guy of any course on tour. That's how good Tony Finau has been here over the years.
Say that again.
Fourth most correlated to success when you match player and course. Tony Finau at the 3M Open.
I'm putting you on the spot. Who's number one?
I don't remember. Okay. I'd have to look it back up.
That's pretty
interesting,
Rick Gaiman
did a great piece on
it.
I did remove a couple Jon Rahm instances in there, so boost him up to fourth.
Gotcha.
Just to be third.
I see what you
Rico, who he's been playing well recently, taking a long shot price on him at 75-1, top 10s then on Finau and Mitchell. Then a couple tournament matchups, Bhatia over Billy Horschel. Really like that one. I don't expect Horschel to repeat what we saw last week. And then Carson Young over Bud Cauley. Tournament matchups for me. And first round leaders, I did just punch in myself, Keith Mitchell, and Johnny Vegas.
You have a Keith Mitchell bet? That's impossible.
I know.
You never
weird,
have a Keith Mitchell bet, except for every damn time. Tony Finau, though, I like it. Fourth most correlated to a course here at the 3M Open, so you got him outright and you got him top 10. We have done all we can do. Best bets is next. We'll have Crackman in tomorrow, of course. Warren Sharp in a couple weeks as well. Talk his NFL preview guide. As it's NFL preview guide season. Don't forget the VEASAN one at VEASAN.com/guide. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.